28. You got your Bibles turned over there, John 8:28. We'll give you the introduction today, and we'll finish this up. But when I get back, John 8:28-32. Abide in the discipleship. The discipleship. All right, John 8:28, and read with me starting in verse number 28. And this is Jesus speaking here. If you got a red letter edition Bible, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. Notice he said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, or truly, truly you are my disciples, and you're going to know that truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen. We're going to be talking about that today, abiding in the discipleship. And let me get your minds already at ease. At the root of the word disciple, you have discipline. Preacher, we don't like it already. Think about it. That's how you instruct your children, by discipline. It means teaching them. Amen. And so discipleship is going to be a discipline ship. Amen. No, preacher, say it ain't so. It is so. Father, we thank you. We love you. We praise you for making us disciples. Thank you that you said we can know the truth and the truth will make us free. Lord, thank you that we can truly continue in your word. We don't have to, but we know it's in our best interest to do so. It's beneficial to us. It'll help our lives. It'll help us down through the course of decision making. And it'll help us to glorify thee. I'm so glad that you said, for I do always those things that please him. Lord, help us do those things that please you as well. We thank you so much for being a God that loves us and watches over us and guides us. And Lord, help us today to learn another truth from your word that we can take with us as we abide in the ship, many ships we've talked about already. But Lord, now help us to abide in this ship, the discipleship. And Lord, I pray if there's one today that has never been discipled, they have never heard about the teaching of Jesus Christ, how he said, go ye there and teach all nations. They've never heard the saving power of Jesus Christ. That man, woman, boy, or girl, their heart would be opened today by the Holy Spirit's power. And they would sense their need to be born again and receive new life in Jesus Christ. And maybe decisions need to be made about abiding in the ship a little bit better. And the Lord, I pray that whatever decisions need to be made today, whether it's being born again or whether it's continuing in the ship, Lord, throughout the course of this message, the Holy Spirit's power, you would anoint hearts and minds. They would know what they need to do. They would feel your call, and since you're moving, and they would do what you have asked them to do. Bless down those that are unable to be with us today. Raise them back up. We thank you for being such a good God to us, Lord. Now help us to leave differently than when we came in based upon what we've heard from the word of God. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And Miss Natasha is going to sing for us.
Shadows fall, and the night covers all. There are things that my eyes cannot see. I'll never fear, for the Savior is near, my Lord abides with me. Just the unknown, and I fear what the future may be. I can depend on the strength of my friend. He walks along with me.
Can I fear? Jesus is near. Amen. What a blessing that is. Amen. By the way, you need that in the discipleship as well. You need to know that Jesus is near. Amen. Well, thus far, we've got numerous ships that we've talked about as well. Amen. Worship, we talked about that one. And also over on this side, fellowship, we talked about that one, which is down here. And also relationship is where we started off at. Everybody needs to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, a personal relationship. Need to know him personally, not know of him, not heard about him, but know him personally. He's got to be yours. Amen. You've got to be able to call him your God, your Savior, your Jesus, just like you would have your own friend. And so you must be born again to start that relationship off. The Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so relationship starts there. Then we went into stewardship as well. Hey, you've got to give. Brother Hall talked about the first fruits. You want to make sure that you're giving your tithe to the Lord. Amen. Your time to the Lord, your treasure to the Lord, your talents to the Lord. And giving to missions helps you as well. And so 10% of your gross income should go to the Lord Jesus Christ and his local church. So stewardship. Then we talked about worship over there, giving God the worship that he truly deserves because he is worthy. And by the way, the more you get to know God, the better you can worship him. Amen. And then back over here, fellowship is what we talked about last time. And that's walking in the light as he is in the light and fellowship. And now we want to jump in the discipleship. The discipleship, preacher, we're going to be in ships all year long. Amen. How many was in the Navy? So none of y'all know about me. Okay, so got one. I thought you were a Marine, sister. Amen. Hey, both. Amen. All right. So Navy. Amen. Back there as well. I did not get into Navy. I saw Jaws when I was a child, and I refused to go into the Navy because I don't like sharks. Amen. And so you might like it, but I said, I am not going to face up with Jaws. Amen. And so looking at our text here, the background of our text, you find Jesus in discussion with the Jews and the Pharisees. Amen. Notice what I'm talking about here. Go to verse number 1, John chapter number 8. Jesus went onto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again unto the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. So Jesus has discussion going on here on a multitude of topics in chapter number 8. The woman caught in adultery is one. Verses 1 through 11. Another is Jesus stating he's the light of the world down there in verse number 12. Notice what he says. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I'm the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So we find him talking about the light of the world there after coming off of the woman caught in adultery in verses 1 through 11. Verses 30 through 32, you find Jesus here talking about discipleship and continuing in his word. And then towards the end, chapter verses 33 down through the end, his discussion about Abraham. So he's got a multitude of topics that he's talking about here. The one we're going to hone on, though, is the one topic on discipleship and talking about abiding in the discipleship. Let me give you the definition very, very early on. A disciple. What is a disciple? A disciple is defined as a learner or an imitator, pupil, or follower. Biblically speaking, it's a follower of Christ. It's an imitator of Christ. It's a learner of Christ because there are disciples that aren't Christian based. Amen. But we're talking about biblical disciples. Notice, as a matter of fact, a learner is one who accepts and follows the ideas and practices of his teacher. Hence, notice what we read in verse number 2. Early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him. He sat down and what? Taught them. He taught them. So if I'm going to be a disciple, if I'm going to be an imitator or a pupil or a follower, I must be taught. Jesus is here teaching. Come down to verse number 20. Notice what it says here. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught, notice that, in the temple, and no man laid hands on him. So he's teaching again. Why? There are disciples there. There are learners there. There are imitators, pupils, or followers there. Come down to verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath what? Taught me, I speak these things. He said, look, I'm here teaching you because God, the Father, taught me. I'm teaching you. And so if you're going to be my disciple, you've got to be a learner. And so the word teach there means to make a disciple or to instruct. You and I that are saved started out salvation by being taught about salvation. Amen. You say, preacher, how do I know that? Amen. And it says down there, but ye shall receive. Oh, no, I'm sorry, that's the wrong scripture. Amen. But go ye therefore and teach how many nations? All nations. Literally teach all nations means to make disciples of all nations. Amen. And so the word teach means to make a disciple or instruct. You and I that started out being taught about salvation. Somebody had to teach us how to be saved. Amen. Say, preacher, why do you say that? Because if somebody didn't teach you, you don't know how to be saved. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody don't teach you how to swim. Guess what? You don't know how to swim. That's why I didn't join the Navy. Amen. You go in there and you get a cramp, you're going to sink fast. Amen. And there is nothing to stop you from sinking. Somebody's got to teach you. Guess what? Children have to be taught how to ride a bike. Children have to be taught their ABCs. Children have to be taught how to tie their shoes. Some still haven't mastered that one yet. Amen. Now they got the cheater's way, Velcro, to fix it all. Amen. Velcro your shoes where you don't have to tie them anymore. Amen. And so you have to be taught from the Lord Jesus Christ. Being taught then makes you a disciple. Amen. You have to be taught calculus, but guess what? You can't learn calculus if you didn't learn 1 + 1 = 2. You had to learn the basics, the addition, the subtraction, the multiplication, the division. You have to know the basics first. And so to be a disciple, I must be a learner. Jesus is teaching. He said, God the Father taught me. You and I started out by being taught about salvation and the need in our life to be born again. So we became disciples at the very beginning. You say, preacher, when did we start? When we got that relationship going. Amen. Guess what? Moms and dads, when did you start teaching your children? At birth. At birth. You taught them don't cry unless they really need something. No, you didn't do that. Amen. Stop that foolish crying. Amen. There ain't nothing wrong with you. You're fed. You got your diaper changed. You just want somebody to be in here. Amen. And so teaching. By the way, all saved people are disciples. Blackaby in his devotion that I read this week said, discipleship is Christ in you. And let me read a portion of what he said. He said, discipleship is Christ in you. Discipleship is more than acquiring head knowledge. And it's more than memorizing scripture verses. Somebody say amen. It is learning to give Jesus Christ total access to our life so he will live his life through us. Get that? It's not you living your life. It's him living his life through us. Our greatest difficulty, notice this, will be believing that our relationship with Christ is at the heart of our Christian life. Our greatest difficulty. When others watch us face a crisis, do they see the risen Lord responding? Does our family see the difference Christ makes when we face a need? What difference does the presence of Jesus Christ make in our life? God wants to reveal himself to those around us by working mightily through us. He wants our family to see Christ in us each day. God wants to express his love through our lives. There's a great difference between living the Christian life and allowing Christ to live his life through us. And so discipleship is Christ living his life through us just yielding to do what he wants us to do. The fact of the matter is we have to learn it first. He wants to teach it to us, and that's what we're talking about today. The discipleship is one ship that we need, but it's one of the hardest ships to abide in because it has as its roots discipline. How many of y'all like discipline? How many of you are disciplined? Yeah, we like to give it, but we don't like to have it. Amen. And you think about this as well. What is discipline? Discipline is really adhering to a course of instruction or routine consistently. That's pretty much what discipline is. It's being able to do something consistently, time after time after time. And so we have to be consistently following Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, Jesus' schedule was far from routine. Would you say amen to that? His schedule was far from routine. One time he's going to Samaria. Next time he's going to heal somebody. Next time he's going to a wedding. Next time he's going to a funeral. Next time he's going into the synagogue to preach. His routine was far from what we would call routine. But there was one thing consistent. Wherever he went, he was giving out the word of God. Somebody say amen. He was always talking about the Father. He was always talking about being born again. He was always talking about being saved. He was always talking about the danger out there without Christ. He was always talking about the Word of God, the Father, and heaven. And although his life may not have been one of a same thing every day and routine, he was consistently giving out the gospel. And can you imagine the disciples having to go with him every day? I wonder where we're going today. Well, today we went to the synagogue. Well, last week we went to the marketplace. Well, the other day, and just in this chapter, he's got a woman caught in adultery. That breaks up and he says, hey, if you continue my word, then you're disciples indeed. And then he's talking about Abraham. He said, I am my father. And they're like, why? You went from this woman in adultery. Now you're talking about we got to continue in your word. And we're your disciples indeed. The truth should make us free. And now, you know, talking about Abraham. Where do we stop? His schedule was far from a routine, which you would call it, but he was consistent. And if you think about the disciples, he said, if you continue my word, he said, you're my disciples indeed. He said, if you stick with me, if you consistently stick it out, if you consistently abide in this teaching that I'm giving you and consistently take it in as my pupil, as my follower, as my imitator, guess what? You're going to know some truth. And this truth is going to set you free. You know why so many Christians are in bondage right now? They don't know the truth. Somebody say amen. We're in bondage. There are Christian people today that are in bondage to alcohol. They're in bondage to sex. They're in bondage to pornography. They're in bondage to cigarettes. They're in bondage to alcohol. They're in bondage to lies. They're in bondage to rebellion. They're in bondage because they don't really know the truth. Because when you know the truth, it'll set you free. When you're a learner, when you're an imitator, a disciple, a follower of Christ, it will set you free. Hey, the Bible says he came to set the captives free. He says, and if you know the truth, you're going to be free. You'll be free indeed. Amen. What am I talking about here? This ship called the discipleship. The ship is not for the seasick or the squeamish. Amen. Spiritually speaking. Many never continue in this ship, even after starting off in this ship, being taught salvation. Others abandon ship, and many are shipwrecked consequently. Hey, you stop learning about Jesus, I'll show you a bad life.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Amen. By the way, we don't know all there is to know about Jesus Christ, neither will we. We don't know all that is to be known about this book, neither will we on this side of heaven. But you know, we can keep learning. We can stay in the discipleship. We can continue seeing what God would have for us. And so others abandoned this ship. Few are in this ship, and there's plenty of room for passengers. Discipline is at the root of discipleship. How many of y'all remember the game Simon Says? Amen. Play that with your young kids, amen. The object of the game is to obey and follow Simon, or you're out. And at the root of Simon Says was listening and obeying Simon. All right, let's play a quick game here. Simon Says, raise your right hand. Simon Says, raise your left hand. All right, put him down. See, some of y'all out already. See, I didn't say put him down. So the rest of y'all are out. So there's only a few that's still in. Simon Says, put him down. You see how that goes? I mean, as soon as I said, some of y'all are out, well, the game's over, I guess. No. I mean, there's so many times I played Simon Says, I got out. They say, raise your right hand, raise your left hand, hop around. Yeah, I'm tired. Stop. I didn't tell you to stop. You're out. You know what's at the root of Simon Says? Discipline. I've got to listen to what Simon says and obey. I've got to watch him. You know what gets more Christians in trouble? Playing Simon Says Christianity. I do what everybody else does. You put your hands down, I put mine down. I'm not dead. He ain't Simon. I put my hand. Why you put yours down? We're both out now. Well, why did you trick me? I didn't trick you. Simon didn't say it. Amen. And that's what happened. We have Simon Says Christianity. We do what everybody else does. Can you imagine if the 12 did what everybody else did? They'd be in trouble. They would have followed the crowd. You find Jesus finally saying, will ye also go away? And Peter said, where are we going to go?
Yeah.
He said, you only have the words of life. Where are we going to go? Well, some of the other apostles said, well, yeah, I guess we might as well go. But the same Peter said, I go a fishing at the end. And you know what they said? Simon says, we also go with thee.
Yes, sir.
And about 7 or 8 of them went away and went fishing.
Yes, sir.
I wonder what the rest of them said. We're not playing that Simon Says game. That's destined for failure. Yes, and so they went out and caught nothing. So much for being a good fisherman, huh? Amen. By the way, Peter was a seasoned fisherman, so he knew how to fish. What am I saying here? Simon Says has at its root discipline. We got some military in here. When I was in boot camp, they exercised a lot of discipline. How many of y'all like that boot camp discipline? How many want to repeat boot camp? I never want to repeat boot camp. Say that fast 5 times. Amen. I never want to repeat boot camp again in my life. Say, preacher, did you hate it? No, I didn't hate it, but I didn't like it either. I mean, you were so petrified, I couldn't go to the bathroom for about 3 days. And it wasn't that I was not trying.
What happened? The discipline, they had you and they put you on a different routine. They put you on a different schedule there. The key was to see if you can understand to undergo physical and mental pressure. Why? You may be a prisoner of war and will denounce your nation and give away all its secrets. Will you do that? Amen. Discipline is needed. There's certain information that you should give and certain information you shouldn't give being a prisoner of war. Amen. Your country is depending on you. Part of the training involved folding your underwear 6 inches. Now, ladies, I don't know if y'all had to do that. Did y'all have to do that? I hope not. Amen. Folding underwear 6 inches. Your t-shirts, your towels, everything was measured with a ruler by a drill instructor. We gave ourselves to this man to tell us what to do for the next 6 weeks. Amen. And he would come in with that ruler, measure your underwear, measure your t-shirts, measure your towels, make sure your bed was creased at a right angle. And if it wasn't, woe be unto you. We had some people that were so petrified, they lived out of their dirty clothes basket. They would wash their clothes. As soon as they washed, they put it in the dirty clothes basket because they didn't want to touch the stuff that they had already folded up in 6 inches. Hopefully none of y'all were like that. What happened? They said, no, I got it right. And I don't want to mess it up. Amen. They were too afraid to try it again. Hey, a disciple learns by his error sometimes. Amen. He learns what to do. He learns what not to do. Your bedspreads had to be creased. You woke up to reveille when they told you. You went to bed when they told you and not a moment earlier. You better not be caught in the bed. Well, I'm tired. So what? Amen. I remember certain guys, well, I'm tired. You lay down, that drill instructor come and see you laying down. You are in trouble. What's going on? Discipline. Hey, what are you going to do? You're going to go out to the battlefield with your gun and take a nap in the middle of battle? Only the Three Stooges do that. I saw that on Father's Day. Amen. You wake up when they tell you, you go to bed when they go to, you study when they told you, you study what they told you to study and you didn't study anything else. You ate when they told you to. You even drank 2 glasses of water when they told you. And you stood up until somebody came to your table and you didn't sit down. Woe be it to you if you sat down. What they call that place there, Pastor White, where all the TI said at the Dragon Pit or something? Dragon Pit? All the TI sat there looking for a violator. Rule breaker, violator. Come here, give me a 341, 241. Give me a 3. Pastor White, he remember. I remember I got one taken from me. It's one of those discipline things that you means you in trouble. And I was the mail clerk. And I took the mail off and put the rubber band on my arm. We went out to calisthenics and I forgot the rubber band was on my arm. And the TI said, Airman Dawson, why you got that rubber band on your arm? He said, sir, I don't have a rubber band on. You call me a liar. I went to go look. Don't you look at your wrist. No, sir, I don't have a rubber band on my wrist. You think I'm a dummy? You think I'm an idiot? That's what you call me? What's that on your arm? Don't you look at it. Sir, I don't think I have anything on my arm, sir. Then he called everybody over. Look at him. What's on his arm? Now I'm feeling foolish. And we were doing push-ups, too. Or not push-ups, or some kind of exercise on the ground where my arms were out like this. And I couldn't look, and my head was up like this, thinking, what is on my arm? I don't remember no rubber band. And he called everybody and made a laughing stock out of me. This idiot says that that's not a rubber band. What do you think that's called? And I'm thinking, finally, there was a rubber band there. He said, give me a 341, you idiot. I'm thinking, you go, sir. What's he trying to teach me? Discipline. Hey, I may have somebody worse than that if I get captured by the communists or the Koreans and I'd be a prisoner of war. I could be in some foreign nation that's trying to interrogate me, trying to get me to give them information. And so they put us through rigorous discipline to make sure we would only give the information that we needed to give. You know what that the root of that was? Discipline, disciple, discipleship. At all that discipline to get us ready to function as a team, to pay attention to detail and be ready for the battle that we may find ourselves in. Why? We may get shipped off and see a real battle and need to know how to follow orders to prevent getting shot down, shot at, blown up, or injured for life unnecessarily. Hey, Airman, stop! Why? Boom! Step on a landmine. Now you lost a leg just because you wanted to ask why. Hey, Airman, duck! Why? Boom! You get shot in the head. See, there's reasons why discipline is necessary, and so it is in the Christian walk. People say, well, I'm saved, and I'm free, and frolicking along, and happy, happy. There's a real devil out trying to get you, and he is not frolicking. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says he's looking for you. He's looking for me. And without the discipleship, without the discipline, without the following of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I are sitting targets and sitting ducks. We really are. And so we've got to make sure we're following orders. Similar to the Christian life, we're in a battle and we need discipline. Our battle is not with flesh and blood, though, like the military. Ephesians 6:12 says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Can God count on us to follow orders and follow him without asking why? By the way, faith. Forsaking all, I trust him is the acronym that we use. Faith says, do it now, I'll give you the blessing later. Well, Lord, why do I have to be faithful? Well, Lord, why do I have to get into discipleship? Well, Lord, why do I have to get into stewardship? Well, Lord, why do I have to get into worship? Why do I have to get in these shifts? Why can't I just be free and do my own thing? Because all we like sheep have gone astray. We don't have a clue how to sail. We don't have a clue how to navigate life. Jesus Christ has lived this life successfully and is trying to teach us how to do the same, but we've got to abide in the discipleship. Say, preacher, how does all this work? Well, I'm going to give you the first point today. Amen. God doesn't always tell us up front, so faith means obeying first and finding out later. We have to ask the question, how's our discipleship? And we're going to answer that question by looking at our first point today. John chapter 8, notice back in verse number 28. The Bible says, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. But I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Jesus said, God the Father has taught me. I'm not operating in my own power, my own strength, although he very well could have, but giving him the example. He says, and he that sent me is with me. Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. He said, I'm doing exactly what pleases my Father. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. He had spoken to these people previously in this chapter, and so they understood who he was. They understood what he was talking about. They understood that he said he was the light of this world and the light of life. They understood all that. And as he got to this point, then many folks trusted him. They believed on him. What does that mean? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. They trusted him for their souls and they were saved. Notice what it says again down there. He spake, many believed on him. I've done this illustration before and I'll do it again. Believing on him means they put their faith and their trust and their confidence on him as much as I'm putting my faith and confidence on this chair. I'm not counting on the ground holding me up anymore. I'm counting on this chair to hold me up. And when they believed on him, they put all their confidence on him, not their baptism, not their heritage, not what they thought somebody said, but on Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. They believed on him. They put all of their confidence in him. They said, we know we're sinners. We know we're not right. We know we need to be born again. We're going to believe on you. We're going to put place everything on you. So thus, they got saved. But then, he says in verse number 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, that trusted in him, if ye, notice this, continue in my word. Through all of Jesus Christ's structure and his schedule and the up and down, the place we had, one thing that was consistent, the disciples, the 12, continued with him, even Judas Iscariot. They continued with him. And he says, look, you that believed on me. Now, I know the 12 already did that. But now you that just believed, you that just got saved. Now, let me tell you something here. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. He said, you are going to be a learner. You are going to be a follower. Now, by the way, if they believed on him, they're already saved. So it's foolish to say, well, if they didn't continue, they're not saved. No, it's two different things. I get saved first, but now can I continue to follow? There's a lot of Christians out there that aren't following Jesus Christ. A lot of people born again out there that trusted Christ as Savior. I just met one yesterday. They got saved, but they're not following. They're not in church. They're not reading their Bibles. They're not praying. They're not confessing. They're not doing what they ought to do. So as a result, they're out of the battle and the devil has them and going to and fro in their lives and beating them down so much so they say, well, I'm not even sure if I'm saved anymore.
By the way, if you have eternal life, guess how long that is for? Amen. But Jesus turns to them. He says, hey, if you believed on me, if you continue my word, then are you my disciples, my learners, indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Who is the truth? Jesus Christ is the truth. The Holy Spirit is truth. The Word of God is truth. He said, you're going to know truth. It's going to make you free. Notice what he says down there in verse 36, that the Son, therefore, shall make you free. You shall be free indeed. So let's look at this first topic this morning to get us jump started in the discipleship. A disciple continues to obey. A disciple continues to obey. Notice he said that, and then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Those Jews had believed on him. He said, if we have believed on Jesus and been saved, that means you and I too. Continue means to abide or remain or to dwell, to endure. He said, if ye continue, the word continue means to abide, remain, dwell, or endure. He said, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Indeed means surely, truly, or of a truth, or in reality, or most certainly, you are my disciples. So the disciple continues no matter what. Hey, you may have bad days. Amen. You may have sad days. Amen. You may have up days. You may have down days. You may have backslidden days. But guess what? You're going to get front-flitting sooner or later. Amen. And you're going to continue with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, in reality, or most certainly, you are my disciple if you continue in this way. My question is this, do we continue? Do we continue? Say, preacher, I'm here, aren't I? You can be here and be a million miles away. You ever talk to your kids sometime? And you can tell their mind is over on yonder way. They're looking at you, but you can tell they aren't even listening. And you say, look at me. And then they look kind of past your ear on this side, or past your ear on that side, or past your head over here. They look at your nose. And you can tell they're still daydreaming. When I get out of here, I am not doing that. And then you say, when you get out of here, and if you don't do that, you're going to be right back in here. Amen. What am I saying? A disciple has bad days. They have sad days, but they keep going. They fall down. They miss here or there, but they continue. And Jesus said, if you continue, our continuance in the word is what's going to make the difference in our lives, because we must continue. I'll give you three things to consider in our continuing discipleship, and then we're going to be done. Three things to consider in our continuing in discipleship. Amen. And I want you to notice what Jesus said in this first point here. Because by the way, if you got saved, you're a disciple. Now, the key is, how are you abiding in the discipleship? Are you following? Are you imitating? Are you learning? Because you can be in the ship and not learn. There's been people who've been in school for a long time. You know, overgrown. Too old. They get so old sometimes, they just say, you got to go. You got to go. You got to go get your GED or a BED or an MOUSC. Get you something, but you got to go. You have been in this school for too long. You got to go. And they have to go and get their education some other way. And so you can be in discipleship and not learn. You can be in discipleship and not be an imitator. You can be in the discipleship and not be a pupil and not learn. There have been many people in churches that don't learn. And they commit the same mistakes over and over and over and over and over again. You don't want to be like that. Three quick things here that a disciple that you want to consider in continuing in the discipleship. Number one, we must be willing to learn daily. Go over to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29. Notice what Jesus said in regards to being a disciple or a learner. Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 29. Of course, over here he said, ye are my disciples indeed if you continue. Matthew 11, 29. And notice what he says down here. We must be willing to learn daily. Matthew 11, 29. Take my yoke. Matter of fact, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and what's that word? Learn of me. What's a disciple? He's a learner. He's an imitator. He's a follower. He said, take my yoke upon you. The yoke was the instrument of labor. take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He's saying, labor for me and you'll learn of me. He labored for the Father. He labored for you and I. He went to the cross for you and I. He said, take my yoke upon you. Take my labor upon you. Come and join in with this, this work here and labor with me. He said, then you'll learn of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Why so many people don't have rest? They're not abiding in the discipleship of learning from the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're busy doing their own thing. And you're not going to get it that way. We must be willing to learn daily in his word. He says, learn of me, learning about his ways, learning even when weary. Amen. By the way, Jesus was weary even when he went to Samaria. The Bible says he had to sit down. He was weary. But you know what he still was? A soul winner. Still a soul winner. He was still soul conscious. He was still looking at that. We go out somewhere, I'm just tired. I hope nobody comes by and ask me nothing, because I don't want to be bothered with nobody today. Somebody goes, can you show me how to get saved? I'm too tired to show you how to be saved. Perish. I hope we never get that way. I hope we never get that way. I'm too tired. I had a visit I was making. I had to chase the person down several times. And then finally got a chance to talk to the person, you know. And I, you know, after someone turns you down the first, you know, 3-4 times, you want to give up. But I continued, I persisted, and then got a chance to share the gospel with them. Now they didn't get saved. But just being persistent. Sometimes we want to give up. He says, take my yoke upon me. We've got to learn daily in his word. Learn daily about his ways and learn daily even when we're weary. He said, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly of heart. How do we do in the discipleship learning daily? Do we have a time daily that we get along with the Lord Jesus Christ? We've got that relationship with him. And in that relationship, we enjoy the fellowship with him. You can fellowship with a whole lot of people, but the fellowship with Jesus is just sweet, amen. I got to have that relationship and that fellowship, and I want to worship him, amen. Why? He's my Lord and he's my Savior, but I want to learn of him. Why? He says, I'm meek and lowly in heart. He said, you'll find rest. He said, take my yoke upon you. I'm asking you to take it. Let's do this thing together. What am I talking about? If we're going to consider continuing discipleship, I've got to be willing to learn daily in his word and his ways, even when weary. Turn over to the Psalms, number 2. Turn over to the Psalms in regards to being a disciple or a learner. Psalm number 119. Psalm 119. And over in the Psalm, we don't like this discipleship part here. Psalm 119, those are verse number 71. Those are the Psalms, psalmist says in regards to being a disciple or a learner. Verse 71, he says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes. A disciple is a learner. He's a pupil. He's a follower. The psalmist said, it's good for me that I've been afflicted. We don't like affliction. We don't like it. The psalmist says, hey, look, I've got to learn by difficulty sometimes. Not just learning daily, but by difficulty, through struggles, through stress, and having no strength. He says, it's good for me that I've been afflicted. You know, some of the times of affliction can be some of your best learning. Some of your best learning. You know, it's not always about things. And I went through a tough 2 weeks. About 3 weeks. Had my wife's situation was going on. I had my own health situation going on. Then Faith fan went out in her room. Her lights and stuff went out. Then the one down in the family room went out. Then my watch battery went out. And then the air conditioner went out last night. I said, Lord, what are you trying to get me to learn through all this? I must be need of something. Please teach me. He said, I just need you to be still, know that I'm God. I just need you to be still, Lord. I just need you to humble yourself and know that I'm taking care of everything. Don't be so anxious. Don't get so worked up. I got it under control. So many times we want to jump ship. G2 was probably about the only spiritual one when the air conditioner went out. He said, well, at least we can save electricity. Out of the mouth of the babes, I said, well, you got a point there, son, amen, as we're sweating, amen. You know, it's tough at not having air conditioning. You got a 2-story house. I mean, nobody wants to be upstairs, and that's where all the bedrooms are at. Amen. So, we're sleeping outside tonight. Amen. What am I saying? We must be willing to learn by difficulty. Sometimes it's going to come through struggles. We don't like struggles. And I can tell you this. Don't you think that disciples being with Jesus went through a lot of struggles? Just seeing what he saw, going where he went, being ridiculed like he was ridiculed, being talked about like he was talked about. And don't you think for one moment that at every turn of the corner they were thinking they're going to stop looking at him and they're going to start looking at us. Why do you think Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times? Peter probably thought he's chained up over there and he's making no attempts to escape. And you think I'm going to say I know him? I don't think so. Struggles. The psalmist said, it's good that I've been afflicted. We don't like afflictions. He said, but I learned thy statutes. It was not going to come any other way. Sometimes learning is going to be daily. Sometimes learning is going to be by difficulty, through the struggles of life, through the stress of life, through not having any strength in life. And we have to depend on Almighty God. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Why? I can't do it in my own. I'm crucified, Paul said, but I'm still alive. And sometimes these afflictions are going to come. And that is the only way we can learn, through difficulty. I don't like them any more than you. I don't like them. But you know, one thing that is a praise, Pastor White, I got a chance to go in my archives and pull out a watch that my grandfather gave me. My grandfather, I got saved in 1991. My wife and I went home and got a chance to lead my grandfather to the Lord. 91, he died about a year and a half later of bone marrow cancer. I got a chance to pull his watch out. Doesn't have a battery. Got to wind it up. I wound it up, and I got to think about Papa. And the time that we asked him, my wife said, Papa, if you die, you sure you go in heaven? My wife and I, we saved about 6 months. And we had went home because my dad had an aneurysm. He had brain surgery. And we went home and was talking to Papa. He said, no, I don't know that girl. And my wife said, you mind if we take a Bible and show you how you can be saved, Papa? He said, I want to know that. I opened up my Bible and shared with him how to be saved. And my grandfather, about 86, 87, got down on his knees, asked the Lord to save him that day. My grandmother was sitting over there. I told y'all the story. If anybody was saved my family, I thought it was my grandmother. My grandmother said, I never did that either. I won't. If anybody in his family would say, Grandma, I know you'd want to take us to church all that. She said, but I never asked the Lord to come in my heart. And right after Papa got done getting saved, Grandma got saved. And the blessing, I got a chance to bring this old watch out that he gave me. Well, really, my mother gave it to me after he died. And reminded me of something sweet. But you know what? I couldn't have the sweet memory because I don't use it anymore because I'm modern like y'all. I use Timex for the battery, digital. Now I got to learn how to tell time the hard way. It never would have happened if I didn't have the difficulty that made me go and pull it out. But gave me a sweet memory. Gave me a sweet memory of somebody getting saved. You know what I'm talking about? Pupil, a learner, a disciple. Sometimes it only comes through difficulty. Just a few verses down. Not only must we learn daily and learn through difficulty, sometimes we must learn by digging. Come down to Psalm 119. Notice verse 73. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding, that I may learn thy commandments. The psalmist, after talking about being afflicted there in verse 71, verse 72 says, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding. You know, gold and silver up there in verse 72, you have to mine gold and silver. You have to get it out of the ground. You got to dig for it. It's not just, diamond rings just don't sit on top of the ground. You don't just find a diamond in the jungle somewhere. You got to dig for gold. You got to dig for silver. And then once you get it, you got to refine it and make it usable. And the psalmist says, the law of thy mouth is better than even thousands of gold and silver. I got to dig for that. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding. Why? That I may learn thy commandments. Sometimes I've got to learn by digging. I've got to learn through digging and discernment through the word of God and dialoguing and discussing with God. God, what's this? Why is this? Why is this going on? Why is this happening in my life? What are you trying to teach me here? Lord, why did this go on? And Lord, what do you want me to do as a result of this? Sometimes I've got to dig and discern and ask for Lord. Lord, what are you trying to do? What do you want me to know? What do you want me to understand? But make sure you stick around to find out why. Sometimes, Lord, what is this for? And then we run away. Well, I was going to give you an answer back there, but since you didn't wait there, let me give you another one right here. And Lord, why this difficulty? And then we run away. Well, I was going to give you one the last two times, but since you moved again, let me give you another one to get your attention. Again, Lord, why? He says, if you would stop trying to get your attention. Gold and silver has to be dug. So give me some understanding. But I got to dig it. Got to discern it. Sometimes I got to discuss and dialogue. Lord, why? But be willing to stop and see what he's doing. And listen for the still small voice. He's not going to always yell it out to you. But the psalmist said, it all started with some difficulty. I was afflicted. He said, but if I wasn't afflicted, I couldn't learn. Then his gold and silver, he said, I want to understand this, but I got to dig that out. Thy hands have made me in fashion to give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me. Verse 74. Why? Through difficulty, through the digging, and through the daily walks with God, I've got a word for them. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. The psalmist goes on to just praise God for his faithfulness. Notice what he says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has what? Afflicted me. He says, you are a faithful God, and I needed that, because without that, I would not have daily done what I need to do. I would not have understood that sometimes it takes difficulty. And I would not have understood that I've got to dig for this gold and this silver. I've got to dig for this sometimes, then wait on your answers for my refining. Verse 76, let I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. The word is what we learn from. He said, you continue in my what? Word. Then are you disciples indeed. Let I pray thee thy merciful kindness be for more comfort according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes. That I be not ashamed. Why is the psalmist able to say that? Because he's continuing in the word. What did Jesus say? If you continue in my word, then you're disciples indeed. He said, learn of me. Learn of me. The psalmist said, I would not have learned thy statutes unless I've been afflicted. Difficulty sometimes. Then he says, give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Sometimes I've got to dig. I don't know about you, but I want to continue in the discipleship, and I know it's not going to be an easy ship to get in. You know, with any ship, it requires work. You don't just get in a ship and it goes where it needs to go by itself. It needs to be navigated. Sometimes it needs to be anchored. Sometimes it needs to be cleaned. It needs to be steered. It needs to be rowed at times. Whatever the ship is, it has maintenance. My mom and dad are on a cruise ship going to Alaska right now with my two sisters. That ship is loaded with people operating the ship alone. Just the ship. Ships require work. And discipleship is work. We got saved by Jesus Christ's finished work. He said, it is finished. That part of the work is done. But now I want you to learn of me. That part is ours. He wants us to learn of him. Daily. Through difficulties. And at the same time, sometimes you want to dig, but abide in the ship. And I tell you, that's a tall order to do. But a disciple may fall down, but he gets back up. He may have a bad day, but he's going to have some good days. He may have a sad day, but he's going to have some joyful days. Now, I look back over the past several weeks and all the stuff Mrs. Dawson went through. You know, it wasn't all bad. Now, did I have some bad days? Yeah. Did she have some bad days? Yeah. But I had some glad days. I had some very good days. I had some difficult days. I had some days where I had to dig and say, Lord, what's going on? I had some days where the children had difficult days. They said, who may not go back home on vacation? That was real difficult for them. But you know what? Through it all, every day I said, Lord, I'm not going to stop in the discipleship. I'm going to continue learning about you. I'm going to continue through difficulty. I'm going to continue seeing what you have for me, because I don't know these seas. I've never navigated this before, and I need your help. Now, if you're here today without Jesus Christ, I encourage you, you want the help of Jesus. He said that he would save you For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son unto the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Maybe today you need to be saved and get in that ship, start the relationship. But if you are in the relationship, continue in the discipleship. It's going to be difficult sometimes. Make dig, find reasons, but daily stay in that ship. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, thank you that you saved us. Lord, thank you that you have put us in the discipleship. Well, there may be some here that are going through some daily studies, and we praise God for them. There may be others going through some difficulties, and they're having to learn through difficulties, through those struggles, that stress, not having strength. Maybe others that they're digging, they're trying to discern, they're trying to discuss and dialogue with you as to what's going on. Help them to remain calm, remain still, to find answers. You said, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart. Perhaps there's one today that needs to be saved. Reveal to that man, that woman, that boy or girl, they need to be saved. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking around. You're here today and Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. No doubts in your mind. You've put your faith and trust in him like the disciples in the scriptures. You believed on him one point in your life and you know if you have a shadow of a doubt, if you died right now, you'd go to heaven. Just raise your hand for a testimony to Almighty God. I know I'm saved. No doubt in my mind, I know I'm born again. No doubt, amen. Hands going up all over, amen. You may put them down. Maybe you're here with us today and you say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not confident that I would go to heaven. I'm concerned about it, but I'm not confident. I want to pray for you. I too sat where you sat February 3rd, 1991. I could not raise my hand, say that I was saved, but I wanted to know so badly. I want to pray for you. Maybe you're here today and you don't know. I want to pray for you. Would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. I'll see you, I'll acknowledge it. You can put it right back down. Amen. Christian, how about it? How's the discipleship of your life going? Is the discipline getting a little tough for you? Is the daily grind a little bit much for you to get along with the Lord? And daily it's hard to get in his word, it's hard to see his ways because you're weary. Then perhaps you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar. Say, Lord, renew my strength. The Bible is clear. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Perhaps you need to come and say, Lord, renew my strength. Perhaps you're going through some difficulty and you're having to learn through struggles and stress and not having strength. Perhaps you need to come and say, Lord, I'm being afflicted. And I don't really quite know what's going on. Help me so that I don't abandon this discipleship. But then lastly, maybe you'd say, I need to learn by digging. Psalmist said, like gold and silver, give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. It has to be discerned and discussed and dialogued, dug out. Maybe you need to come to an old-fashioned altar and say, God, help me to continue in the discipleship when it comes to digging through difficulty and daily. And wherever you're at today, God wants you to know that he loves you and he wants to work through your life. Father, bless now these next moments in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, let's stand to our feet. As Natasha plays the hymn of invitation, I'm not sure what the need is in your life in regards to discipleship, but whatever it is, why don't you come down to an old-fashioned altar and tell the Lord about it. The psalmist was very candid about it. He said, Lord, your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. I want to know. Sometimes it's through difficulty. Sometimes it's through the times of daily walking with God and communing with God. Sometimes it's through a digging, discerning, discussing, dialoguing with Almighty God. But I know this, God wants us to abide in the discipleship. He wants us to continue in that discipleship. He said, if ye abide, continue in my word, then I am a disciple indeed. And you should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I don't know about you, but I know I've got bad days ahead of me, sad days ahead of me. I don't know when they are, but I know they're there. And as I navigate in discipleship, I want to be able to sail past those bad days, those sad days with the grace of God. I want to be able to navigate through the difficult days with the grace of God.
when the struggles and the stress kind of overwhelm me and try to capsize my ship. I want to continue abiding in the ship, saying, Lord, I know you're here with me. You told me you'd never leave me nor forsake me. You told David, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Lord, as I abide in the ship, I know I'm going to have some days where I'm going to have to dig and discern and discuss and dialogue with you, because I don't understand my own way. And I don't understand what you're doing and why you're doing it. But I know I'm going to abide in discipleship. Because life's sea for me can get rocky at times. But I'm so glad you have navigated this life. You know exactly where I need to chart my sails for. Plot my map for. You know where the helm needs to be. You know where the rudder needs to be set at. Lord, may I recognize and realize it's Christ in me, the hope of glory, who wants me to yield to him and navigate through these difficult waters of discipleship. Oh, yes, it's discipline. It's a consistency. It's adhering to the course of instruction that God has given. And it's doing it until he comes. Where are you at today? Perhaps today you say, preacher, I need to be saved. We're here. Won't you come? Won't take but a moment of your time to show you in the Bible how God loves you. And all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It won't take you but a moment of your time to show you how you can be saved. Would you come? There are some waiting for baptism already. Perhaps you would say, I'm saved already, but I'm not baptized. Now, preacher, can I join in with the next time you've got baptism? Would you come? Let us explain to you what baptism is all about, what it means, what you need to do. I've got that relationship, Pastor. I know I'm saved, but I need to be baptized. Would you come? Perhaps they need to join this church. You say, preacher, this church seems to preach the word of God. I know I need to be a member of the local church. I'm going to come and join this church. I'm saved. I'm baptized. Doors are open. You come. I'll tell you what you need to do. Join this church. Perhaps you just say, preacher, God's got something that I need to do. I know I need to do it. I know I need to surrender to him. Help me to fall under the discipleship and let God teach me as I learn of him. Because he is meek and lowly of heart. It may be daily that I'll have to get with him. It may be difficult at times. I may have to dig, but I'm willing. I'm willing. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace, your mercy. Lord, I am just one of many that are here today that is abiding in the discipleship. Lord, many of us daily are in your word seeking your ways and seeking your will. Lord, that ship oftentimes as we abide in it daily takes us through those times of difficulty, help us through stress and strain. And Lord, no strength, help us to continue abiding in the ship, knowing sometimes it's going to cause some difficult afflictions in our life. But help us to abide, not jump ship, not abandon ship. Then Lord, help us when the going gets tough and it's difficult and it's daily. And Lord, we understand that sometimes we've got to dig and find exactly what you're doing in our lives and see and seek your face. The discipleship is one that you require us to be in if we're going to be strong Christians and we're going to be able to guide and help others. But Lord, once we come off the ship over in glory land, we'll thank you for the abiding with us in the discipleship. Help us as we dismiss today, Lord, to go with your blessings. Encourage our hearts. Instruct us. Lord, we thank you for being a great God to us. Lord, let no man, woman, boy, or girl leave without getting in that relationship. And whatever it is you would have for us to do, help us to leave here focused on doing the will of God. Thank you so much for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen.